Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate Jeremy Kaufman for coming on the show today. Jeremy is one of the more polarizing figures in the world of the Libertarian Party. He's one of the leaders of the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. Always very controversial tweets, bold messaging, a lot of drama at the Libertarian National Convention this past week in Michigan, and we'll get to recap some of that. If you want to support the Kelly Patrick Show, even if this is your first episode you've ever heard, please send me some health insurance referrals. Anyone who needs health insurance anywhere in the United States, whether it be individual health insurance, age 18 all the way up to 64, or my specialty, Medicare. MedicareStoreUSA.com is how you can contact me. Send me some health insurance referrals. I want to thank Louisville Combat Academy, 7908 Beulah Church Road, Louisville, Kentucky, for their sponsorship. They have a great 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu program led by Professor AJ Jenkins. I attend a kickboxing class there every Thursday led by Graham Gordon. The legendary Jason Y leads the MMA program out of Louisville Combat Academy. I want to thank Matt McCarthy, the producer of The Kelly Patrick Show. Matt is with Veercast Digital Media. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, I am joined by returning guest. We have Jeremy Kaufman, public enemy number one. Jeremy Kaufman is back on the Kelly Patrick Show. Jeremy, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I mean, public enemy number one, maybe public hero number one.
Public hero number one. We can go with that.
I understand that there are people on both sides of this issue, but you know, there are a lot of people who like the free state strategy, who like the LPNH strategy, and I don't know how familiar your audience is with all these things, but
let's assume that we're not familiar, if it's all right. I was thinking this would be a good opportunity for you to tell what is it that's going on, please.
So I'm the chair of the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. I'm the former executive director of the Free State Project. I'm the current president of the Free State Party, which is this new private membership club in New Hampshire. I've been a successful entrepreneur. I've done a lot of things in my life. I've done a lot of things for the cause of liberty. I've fought court cases that have been prominent for both the blockchain industry and, you know, other areas. And so there's so many different things. I've been involved in the liberty, in sort of trying to achieve liberty for a long time. I'm a parent, I'm a father of four. And so, you know, I wear a lot of different hats on the shows that I go on, but I kind of get the feeling that we're going to be talking about the Libertarian Party and some of this stuff, you know, on this show. And so, of course, we just came off a contentious, national convention. And now there are some attempts to push the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, which is by many measures the most successful state party in the country, out of the Libertarian Party entirely. And so maybe that's what we're here to talk about.
But yeah, what we're here to talk about. But I don't think it's a bad idea to start out with your resume. What was it that you? What have you founded?
So in my 20s, I built a SaaS company that was. I get to wear the rare hat of making the software and building the company that is, I believe, still to this day. Although I haven't been involved with it for more than a decade, it's still the most popular software tool for. Competitive Ultimate Frisbee leagues. We grew into like USA Rugby, USA Lacrosse, you know, like national governing bodies. It was software that was used by, I think we hit millions of people. It's like a white label software product for sports leagues. And I made that. I grew it myself. I scaled it. I later sold it to private equity. That was sort of my, I moved to New Hampshire basically near the same time. I actually didn't sell the company until after I moved to New Hampshire. But I had kind of been, had moved on to other things. I did Library, LBRY, and a website called Odyssey, which that grew to over 50 million monthly active users. Someone just at the Libertarian Party National Convention came up to me and said, you know, still to this day, this is the best tool for sharing 3D gun files. Although it's actually a video website, but it can do some other things, and it got very popular in that community. There's a number of things. I don't do the best job of keeping track of all the things that I've done, but business-wise, those are probably the two biggest. And recently, I've started this venture called the Free State Party, which has received seed funding from some very prominent right-wing libertarians, although those names aren't public yet. But we've raised a lot of money and are building something new. And you can follow us on X at Free State Party. We also have a YouTube channel at Free State Party, putting out some interesting content. I could talk more about that venture, but I feel like we should talk about some of this Libertarian Party stuff, because I'm the chair of the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire, and we were just out at the national convention. And were you weren't there, though, were you?
I wasn't. I was going to make it, but I had some family obligations. I got a pregnant wife due in July, but she's real big right now.
And yeah.
She wouldn't
Well, congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
A big deal.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So I was not able to make it. I've made it to the last two state party of Kentucky party conventions, but I'm yet to make it to a national convention to join in on the true fun, is what it appears.
Well, you've had a lot going on in Kentucky.
Sure, we certainly have. Yes, shout out to Jeremy Todd, who I know you spent some time with this past weekend.
I did. I gave him some positive feedback, some negative feedback, but I actually gave him a campaign donation earlier, and I didn't, you know, it wasn't because I was coming on this show, so it wasn't to tell you that I was doing it, but I gave him a campaign donation actually earlier today, because I think, you know, he's at least. I'm skeptical of the Libertarian Party at times, maybe more than at times, despite being the chair. But I think Jeremy is a good guy. Jeremy Todd is a good guy. This is actually when I messaged him. I said, before I clicked your website, if it was a bad website, I was going to give you $0. And if it was a good website, I was going to make a donation. That was like what I mentally did before I clicked the website. I clicked the website and it was a good website. So I gave him a donation. I honored the mental promise that I made before I clicked the link. You know, and so there are a lot of people. Look, maybe this is too, what's the word? Like uncomfortably explicit. I think it's like unlikely that Jeremy will win, but I think there are a lot of people who are upset about what happened to Thomas Massey, understandably. And it makes sense for Jeremy and the Libertarian Party of Kentucky to take advantage of that. You know, like there are a lot of people who are frustrated, and if you can personally benefit, if your party can benefit, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't do his best to win. I'm just like a realist about the chances of that. And so like, if you ask me, and I try to be honest. And so honestly, I think the chances of him winning are low, mm-hmm. but I think the chance that he can, you know, build his profile, raise some money, you know, maybe impact the political conversation nationally, you know, I think those chances are much higher. And so I support him attempting to do those things, you know, and those are good things. They're good things for Kentucky. They're good things for him. You know, it's always good for our guys to be raising their profiles, to be getting more attention, you know. And so if Jeremy, win or lose, can become a more prominent contender in the national conversation for liberty, that's clearly a win, right? Like, it's clearly a win that more people are paying attention to what Jeremy Todd has to say. And I can say that without saying, hey, this guy's going to get elected, you know, because that the Jeremy Todd getting attention is good. I can say that. That's an honest statement. Jeremy Todd is going to be your next congressman. I have more trouble saying that because I don't think that's necessarily true. You know, I'm not saying it's impossible, but like, you know, anyway. So
you would have said the same thing about you when you ran for Senate.
Yeah, I could even probably pull up and screen share the document that I wrote when I got approached, because it was never my idea to run for Senate. There's a bunch of other people here who encouraged me to run, and I wrote like a 2-page or 3-page document with my thoughts on it. But there were two things that were especially important to me in that document. One was that I don't have to pretend I'm going to win, because I really don't like lying to people, you know, and I'm not saying that everyone who says they're going to win is a liar. I think some people like genuinely believe that they're going to win, in which case they're not lying, you know, but I didn't conceive it to be possible that I would win. And I didn't want to go around telling people that I could,
sure.
because that would have felt dishonest to me. So that was actually one of my requirements, that I didn't have to pretend that I was going to win. And then the other requirement was that, and I feel like we're like far enough removed from this, that this is okay to say, and I'm not going to get any of my guys here in New Hampshire in trouble, was that it be blessed by our good Republicans here. You know, so we have some really radical libertarians elected to the state house here. And part of being a good politician when you're as radical as these guys are is they don't wear it on their sleeves. You know, it doesn't make sense that, this is maybe getting on a tangent, but it's on my mind because there's one of our most incredible people actually passed away just today, or maybe yesterday, but I became aware of it today. And his name is Michael Yakubovich. He was basically responsible for us getting our first state senator. He won as state senator and ended up having to step down to due to his battle with cancer. Jeez. He was in the legislature before that. And he was a radical. I mean, he was an ANCAP, you know, through and through. But he would do things like go to a, you know, Back the Blue rally, which, you know, I can tell you he wanted to end qualified immunity. You know, he you know, recognized police excesses. But he was a Republican who wanted to get elected. And so he would do both sides of it, you know. And so he was an example to me of someone who did everything right. And we have people like that here, like him, where, you know, it's almost easier to acknowledge his radicalism now that he's passed. Because, you know, when he's still in the political arena, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy's just a moderate, sensible Republican. But no, he was a real radical. And he did what he needed to do to get elected. He would compromise when he had to, but he advanced the ball anytime he got the chance to advance the ball. And those are the kinds of people that I like the most. He passed relatively young. I think he was in his mid-50s after a battle with cancer. And, you know, I think he's a hero. I mean, we have other people like this, of course, in the State House. I'm not, you know, he wasn't our only guy. We've got a lot of guys in there. But this New Hampshire kind of blends this radicalism where I think we have a lot of people who are sincere radicals, but they play their cards the right way to get things done. And I think a lot of the people in the Libertarian Party can struggle with the second part of that, of doing what you need to do to get things done.
Okay. If it's all right, I'm going to try to set the stage for headed into this past weekend's. If someone's listening here in Louisville, Kentucky, maybe they're a local MMA fan. They don't know why Kelly is having this guy on the podcast.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I could have presented it this way. But if someone's tuning in and they don't know who the hell Jeremy Kaufman is, he is a radical messenger within the liberty movement all across the United States. He ran for Senate a few years ago. He had some of the funniest commercials I've ever seen. The War is Gay, a couple of those other things really got a lot of traction. I was looking for War is Gay on YouTube today. Has it been scrubbed or something? I can't find that. I tried to show my son, but anyways, he's done a lot of really successful messaging. He also pushes some buttons on occasion, will say some things that are deemed as maybe offensive or, you know, kind of rub the feathers of certain people within the Libertarian Party the wrong way. Headed into the party convention this past weekend in Michigan, that's me setting the stage. This is Jeremy Kaufman. Jeremy, where do we go from there? Headed into Michigan this past week.
So I knew that there were some people, you know, who didn't like the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. I mean, it's not always clear why they don't like us. One of the phenomenon that I've learned over the last 5 or so years of being involved in the Libertarian Party is that if a left libertarian, and they're all leftists, there isn't anyone, I met like almost no one who has a problem with us who I would consider to be on the right. I would think almost all of them are leftists. Now, I'm not saying they're not libertarians, but I'm saying that they're leftists. And when I say left, so what I mean by leftist, I don't mean that they want, you know, quote, a big welfare state, but I mean that they are very egalitarian. They're very against hierarchy. You know, that classic moral heat map of what's their orientation of concern, you know, they don't want to set their town free. They want to set the whole world free. Mm. You know, their orientation is very global and outward. And so that's what I mean when I say that they're on the left. A lot of these people have come to not like me, but also they simultaneously won't engage with me. You know, there is no one who has a problem with me who is capable of sitting down with me and having a calm conversation, which I'm always capable of having. You know, I'm a very factual, I'm an intellectual kind of guy. You know, I have backgrounds in hard sciences like physics and computer science. You know, like I'm a very, I bring evidence and facts and studies and all the things. You know, I bring the science, you know, which of course we should trust. No, you know, but I'm like a, I'm a, I'm not, you know, I'm not just this like polemicist, you know, I bring, you know, good sources, but nonetheless, I'm very controversial with the left libertarians because, you know, I will acknowledge truths like, yeah, there really do seem to be ethnic differences in how many people will become, you know, libertarians, or it, even just ideas like, look, a lot of people, not even racially, like a lot of white people are never going to be libertarians. So, you know, it's not like just that libertarianism is produced via ethnicity. You know, their libertarianism, you know, in my view is to some extent cultural. To some extent it is genetic or hereditary, you know, like the idea that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree is I think scientifically true. And so to me, libertarianism it's something that I want, you know, sincerely. I love the idea of voluntary interaction. I love the idea of free markets, you know, private property. These ideas mean a lot to me. I've also just kind of realized that they're not the most popular beliefs. This led me to moving to New Hampshire, where there's this concentration movement. You know, if millions of people want something, it doesn't matter if it's correct or not. You know, this idea that it needs to be based in objective correctness, I think is kind of ludicrous. I want it. A lot of other people want it. We're willing to dedicate our resources to getting it. You know, that's what matters. And by the way, I'm not trying to reject the idea that when I say that, I'm not, of course, I believe that it's objectively correct. But as libertarians or, you know, liberty-minded people, we've all had these conversations, these experiences where the arguments or the books or the media that worked on us, they don't work on other people. And so that does lead me to believe that political preferences and societal preferences can be a little bit more like, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? You know, you might like chocolate and I might like strawberry, but that's not like we can't reason each other into, you know, having an alternative preference. Mm-hmm. And so I do think a lot of politics works this way, which is, you know, tricky. Like once you adopt that, a lot of other things change, you know? So, but adopting that belief was part of why I ended up in New Hampshire.
Okay. So headed into the convention in Grand Rapids, yeah. Michigan, there's some people, just the fact, for example, that Kelly, that today I'm sitting down with you based on what you describe things as, I would be counted as someone who, like, I don't at least like absolutely despise you or think you shouldn't have a voice.
Yeah, well,
the people who do despise you, you say that they don't really even interact with you. Or,
yeah, I mean, I don't think... talking to me should mean you endorse everything. Like, what a ridiculous, again, this is a leftist framing. The idea that talking to me means you endorse everything I've ever said. That would be ridiculous. Quite frankly, I don't endorse everything I've ever said. So if you endorse everything I've ever said, you're beyond me. You know, I treat messaging a little bit entrepreneurially, which means you take shots and you see what works and you do more of what works and you drop what doesn't work. And I don't mean that in the sense that I'm, you know, saying things that I don't think are true. But you can say things that you think are true in lots of different ways, you know, and you can be attempting to accomplish political ends in lots of different ways. So we definitely take shots. Yeah. So we went into convention. I was kind of the enemy. Sorry. I did lose the thread of your first question.
That's okay. This is all important information.
Yeah.
And me introducing you as public enemy number one is consistent with you being going into it as the enemy. So
I've also been trained by my good friend, Dennis Pratt, who literally like watches every podcast, and he's like, did you talk about New Hampshire enough? He like gives me a score. And so I've been trained like a dog to make sure that I mention New Hampshire enough, or I'm going to get a bad Dennis score.
You think everybody who leans in the liberty direction, the libertarian direction, should in fact move to New Hampshire, correct?
Should at least visit. And my new entity, the Free State Party, freestate.party, is at freestate.party/visit is our secret URL for helping people come, you know, on a visit here. But yeah, basically because of these various controversies, various truths that I'll acknowledge, there was a lot of unpopularity. There was some animosity targeted towards LP&H. And, you know, me being me, I don't really like defense. You know, I prefer offense. You know, defense is necessary sometimes, but like these people were like, we're going to disaffiliate LP&H. And so I was like, yeah, go ahead.
I saw a clip of you saying that's wonderful. What was it you were saying? Oh, that's wonderful. Or something like that. Like you were like, so they, when did you hear about them disaffiliating LP&H?
there, you know, there, there, I, you know, I, it honestly was a more sincere movement than I maybe anticipated, but I definitely heard rumblings, you know, maybe a month or two ago. In response to this, I was like, well, you know, if you want to disaffiliate me, I'm going to run for chair, and my position is I will disband the entire Libertarian Party itself. And this is not an insincere position. Like, I do think the Libertarian Party has become this tug of war between left and right factions that's very counterproductive. It selects for leftists because leftists are more delusional, right? Right-wing libertarians tend to have, in a, you know, sort of in a Thomas Sowell framing, they tend to have a more constrained vision. You know, those with a more constrained vision attempt to achieve what's possible, and that generally involves being a Republican. You know, the more unconstrained your vision is, you're like, oh, of course I can set the whole world free as a libertarian. Like, not only will I free America, I'm going to free the whole world. The Libertarian Party, I don't know if you know this guy, but the Libertarian Party isn't, we're not just going to free America, we're going to free the whole world. That is how some of these people believe. They're like, you know, it's like a fucking, sorry, I shouldn't swear. It's like a 300-pound.
You can say whatever you want on the Kelly Patrick Show.
It's like a 300-pound guy who's like 45 and fat and doesn't have a job, but he's about to free the whole world. And like, these are the people, these are the people that we're up against. And they're just completely delusional. You can't engage in them in reason or facts or evidence. If you attempt to, you know, they'll block you. You know, you can't, they can't let contradictory evidence to their desired experience into their brain. And so these are the enemies. These are the people who want to get rid of New Hampshire. And so I went in, I gave them some harsh truths. I ran for chair. I gave a speech that told them some very uncomfortable facts, like the fact that the Libertarian Party in 55 years has never won a head-to-head race for state or federal office. Statewide or federal office. And so by head-to-head, I mean it was one Libertarian against one Republican against one Democrat. Okay? That's never happened. Not once. Mm. Not a single time. And so if you can't do that in 55 years, you know, as an entrepreneur, I tend to think maybe, you know, I suppose you could propose radically different strategies, but otherwise you should mostly think that it's impossible. And no one there is even proposing radically different strategies. I mean, these people want to bring back, they're like, oh, well, we're going to do what we did 10 years ago to get 2% instead of 1%. Mm. And it's so many of these people are delusional, honestly. Like, I went there and there were some good, I want to say that there are some very good people there that I met. I had so many people come up to me who were supporters or fans or curious about New Hampshire. So I'm not going to like throw everyone there under the bus. There were easily 100 people there who were great, but there are also hundreds of people there who are like, you guys either need to level up, you need to mature a little bit, or you're not the kind of person that I even want to be recruiting to New Hampshire. Mm. It's a real problem. Like, because this is another aspect of the difference between the left and the right. You know, the left can't handle any hierarchies. You know, and as a mostly right-wing libertarian movement here in New Hampshire, it's like, yeah, we've got like, you know, to me, our political leader is Jason Osborne. He's the House Majority Leader. He's a favorite, or I don't know if he's a favorite, but he's a strong candidate to be the Speaker of the House next year. He has done all this political wheeling and dealing. And to me, it's like, oh, Jason's our political leader. You know, if Jason says something, then I'm going to listen to him. You know, like, I accept that that's his role. That's his role to do these things, you know, and I could point to other people in other areas where it's like, oh, this guy's the leader on, you know, on guns, or this guy's the leader on homeschooling and parental education. And it's like, and that doesn't mean that we're still libertarians and I can still ask questions. I can still express skepticism, but politely, not angrily, you know. I recognize that there's different people who are good at different things, and I try to respect them, you know. And similarly, there are a lot of people who, you know, respect me as one of the better communicators, or like, you know, people who, or networkers, you know, these are my roles as communicator and networker. Those tend to be the things that the roles that I fill the most here, you know? And so I have no problem being, you know, part of, you know, a hierarchy, and different people are good at different things and I'll respect them. But the left-wing libertarians, they really struggle with that. They're against the idea, you know, they really want everyone to be equal. And that's just not true, you know? And so it's hard. It's hard to work with. You know, we have almost, I still don't hate the idea of a left libertarian coming to New Hampshire, but we have almost none of them here who are here and get anything done. You know, whereas we have all these right wing libertarians who are like actually getting stuff done day after day after day, you know, passing, you know, we just passed one of the most radical homeschooling bills in the country. You know, we just passed a big food freedom bill, you know, to make it easier to slaughter your own meat or something like this. I'm not the food freedom expert, but I know that we did something really cool. You know, we're doing this stuff, all of the time. We're fighting for a whole bunch of medical innovation, right to try, you know, giving you more control of your own body and the medicines that you take, cutting taxes, cutting spending. You know, this stuff is happening year after year after year, you know, and it's often, yeah, maybe we got 1% more free or 2% more free, but that compounds. And if you're doing that year after year after year, that's how you win. And that's mostly what we try to do here.
So are you guys officially kicked out of the National Party?
Oh, no. No. There's both an appeal process. Yeah, so they did. Oh, yeah. So we didn't tell the full story. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Getting onto my New Hampshire beat. So I did not win the chair race as I expected. You know, no one who got on stage running for any position said, I'm running to disaffiliate LPNH. Not a single person said that. You know, this was evidently a kind of secretive plan that they were organizing behind the scenes, where their top priority after getting control of the new Libertarian Party is to kick out the most successful Libertarian Party. Right.
That's wild. Yeah.
Right. And we are the most successful. We have the most membership.
Even if you disagree entirely with the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, it seems anti-libertarian to, right?
That's right.
I would think, right?
Yes, and the design of the Libertarian Party, it's literally designed to give states a lot of autonomy. Like, that's the intentional design. Libertarians believe in decentralization. We believe in bottom-up, do what works. And so here we have this state of why does a state of 1.4 million people have the largest following on X? Why does a state of 1.4 million people get more media attention than any other state affiliate? We're doing something that works. Rather than learn from that, they're jealous because the Libertarian Party, and this is, look, I don't like that this is true, but the Libertarian Party is just mostly full of losers. And I did antagonize them a little bit. I kind of gave them a speech that called them losers to their faces and said that you're losers who will always lose, and that makes you mad when you see winners. So maybe I didn't, you know, that maybe was not the most political.
You said that this past weekend?
I did. I ran for chair. I got on stage. And I did. Yeah. If you haven't watched it, it's like
an 8 or 9 minute
speech. I would watch it. I think I have it pinned on my tweet on my Twitter at Jeremy Kaufman. It's, by the way, it's the most watched speech. My speech has gotten more views than Justin Amash. It's gotten more views than Joel Salatin. I have the most viewed speech from the Libertarian Party National Convention. They turned off the comments. They had comments on the live stream until I got on stage. The moment I got on stage, the Libertarian Party, which of course is supposed to believe in free speech, turned off all the comments. And so that's one of the things I expose, is that these people are snakes. Like, we're supposed to be the party of principle. They can't be principled when it comes to me. They, you know, Chase Oliver will tweet about me again and again and again from behind a block, won't allow me to reply, he could have called on Tim Pool and exposed me as a fascist, Nazi, racist, whatever he thinks that I am. And he wouldn't go on Tim Pool and talk to me face-to-face. There's no podcast that any of these people would go on and talk to me face-to-face. And I wouldn't even bite their heads off. I'd be nice, you know, but they won't do it because they know that my ideas and my perspectives, like, can't really be rationally argued against. And what do all left-wing people do to maintain the hive mind? They close ranks, they block, they don't allow the conversation. And that's what it means, you know, to kind of be on the left. And so that's what they did here. As soon as the elections were closed, at the very first meeting, it was the top agenda item. So the top priority of the new Libertarian Party National Convention was to disaffiliate the most successful state.
That's wild.
There was borderline no discussion. There was no evidence introduced. The only evidence introduced was that a completely different executive committee more than basically 2 years ago. So I didn't vote for it. No member of the current executive committee voted for it, but two executive committees ago, so two election cycles ago, did endorse Donald Trump for president. I think Donald Trump is on the spectrum of presidents. Now, on the spectrum of libertarianism, he's not that libertarian. On the spectrum of presidents, I think he's not doing too bad. That's mostly because we've generally had pretty bad presidents, not because he's particularly libertarian. But I'm a political realist. Free staters are, despite being radicals, are political realists. And so if Trump is the best that I can do, then I want Trump. Give me someone better who can win, I want that, you know? But I'm not going to say that I want someone who can't win. I tend to be against that kind of thing. That doesn't seem to get me anywhere.
And that seems to be the kind of the teeth of it, in large part, is that you guys are willing to endorse Republican, rubs them the wrong way.
I think the Trump thing is the only thing they have that has actual grounds. But really what it is they don't like the way that we tweet. Like, you know, LP&H has been on, and we don't have to get into the details of this if you don't want to.
You can get into the most offensive stuff you want. What's the most offensive?
I don't think it's offensive. Like, to me, the Dalton Etherly case, the Chud the Builder case.
Okay.
We don't have to like that guy.
Are your thoughts on that? That's a good one.
Well, it's clear self-defense. I mean, it's from all the video that I've seen, from everything that I've seen that came out, someone who didn't like what he said on live streams, right? Like, Dalton didn't say anything to the guy who attacked him.
Okay.
So this guy who attacked him didn't like things Dalton said on the internet, attacks him, is on top of him punching him, and Dalton shoots him. I mean, this is straightforward. I mean, this is right. This is like a George Zimmerman Trayvon case. So it's honestly even better because we have actual video.
Okay.
You know, and we've seen again and again and again that the left will side with the criminal over the kind of decent person who's trying to defend themselves. You know, they'll come up with complete, you know, fabrications, you know, like Michael Brown or whatever. And we have video evidence, we have eyewitness testimony. This is a case where libertarians should really be on the side of self-defense here, but because Dalton violated progressive norms, the Libertarian Party, which exists entirely within the sphere of leftism, right, in terms of how they communicate, in terms of who they want to recruit, they will never give any message that violates the norms of the left. They're not going to talk about it, you know? And LP&H is very willing to violate the norms of the left. Well, in fact, LP&H is not just willing to. We go out of our way to, right?
Really?
That's part of what,
This is the first I've heard of this.
Well, your audience might not know, but yeah, we're doing the opposite.
No, that's true.
I'll spell out why. We are trying to, a big part of our strategy is to show that we have this density of people here. We have this density of right-wing libertarians here that if you want to violate progressive norms, you're not going to lose your community. Mm. You're not going to lose your friends. You're not going to lose your job. Of course, there are places you could work in New Hampshire where you could lose your job. I don't want to overstate it. But we have so many people here who are principled right-wing libertarians who aren't interested in existing, you know, under the progressive umbrella or living within the left-wing bubble. And it's so much – by the way, this is like not a problem just in LP National. I mean, look at how many Republicans will line up to sing the praises of Martin Luther King, you know, as an example. You know, this is a guy who was a literal communist, decent evidence that he's a rapist, helped enact some of the worst laws in the country, right? Like Martin Luther King is given credit for the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act and all these bad laws, not saying he was like the prime architect, but he played a big role in them getting passed. And how many Republicans line up to kiss his ring? By the way, Ron Paul didn't. Ron Paul was the lone no vote on making Martin Luther King a national holiday, you know? So, you know,
And that just hurts people's feelings when they hear that you said Chud the Builder was kind of a decent person and that type of thing. That type of stuff just really hurts people's feelings.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest. I don't know that much about him. I'm not even saying he's a decent person.
Okay.
I have heard that, you know, some of the streaming stuff he does is provocative, and, you know, walking around on the street and calling people names for no reason is not something I encourage. So I don't want to be like a wholesale defender of everything he's done. I don't know enough to say.
Sure.
But I do know, I have seen enough about the specific incident that it seems that he was in the right. And also, I do think there's a huge double standard here around there being like basically one word. And I know you're on YouTube, so I'm certainly not going to say it here, but there is like basically one word that justifies violence, you know, that like a lot of people really feel that if you say one word, then violence is okay. And I don't agree with that at all. I don't think any word is special. You know, there can be strings of words that are actual threats that could justify violence and self-defense, of course. Like, I can think of something that I could say to you, but I don't think it would be something like, and by the way, you can give me your opinion or your kickboxer.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. It does add up that there shouldn't be certain words that are off limits specifically, or certain words that if said, then everything else goes out the window and that guy deserves to get, you know, put in prison for a long or whatever, or attacked physically.
And when it comes to starting a fight, like, you know, if I just said, hey, you ugly jerk or ugly bastard or something like that, you know, I would still, I don't think that's a nice thing to say, of course. And I'm not, of course, you're neither of those things.
Thank you.
Just to be clear. But, you know, like, I don't think even that would merit, you know. Now, it's one thing if I'm like up in your face and I'm screaming, you know, what actually constitutes, you know, starting a fight. You know, I think that's actually pretty contextual. You know, there could be a set of words. It's like, you know, hey, I'm going to stab you. Like, those are words. And that would, you know, like, it has to do with how realistic the threat is. You know, if I'm up in your face and I'm screaming, then there's all kinds of words, you know, that could. And this is, by the way, also the way that courts have generally ruled is it's not just the words. It's the context of them. You know, what it's the way that they're said. It's you know, how close were you to the person when you were saying them? Yeah, you know, these are all factors in terms of how our courts have actually ruled on these kinds of things. But generally, I think, you know, insults might be crude, but insults do not justify, you know, violence for the most part. And we have this double standard around a certain word that I would like to see torn down, not because I want to say it all the time, but because I think there's just a real double standard. You know, to me, some of the worst words, and these are words I can say on your stream because all of the moderation is left wing. Like, to me, some of the worst words you can say about someone is that they're a Nazi or a bigot or a racist. Like, to me, these are left wing slurs. And these are words that are meant to mark someone as a non-person and a target for violence. But, you know, like, that is the purpose of these words. These words are completely permissible to say to the point that I don't have to worry about biting my tongue, you know, and getting your YouTube monetization in trouble or whatever. You know, but there are other words where I don't have a problem saying them privately, but I know that they mark you as a, you know, as a target. And so, you know, even if Dalton is a little bit crude, it's like, well, what's the way to, you know, how do we undo this? How do we get out of this? You know, I, you know, one of my beliefs is that as America has gotten less religious, we've kind of replaced it with a civic religion where either, you know, either Abraham Lincoln or Martin Luther King, or maybe both of them, like, they're like secular Jesus, you know, and the supreme, you know, and the devil is like, you know, Adolf Hitler, you know, or whoever would be regarded as, you know, the most responsible for slavery. You know, so like slavery is now the original sin, you know, and we all have to repent, and we will never be able to fully repent, but we have to repent to the best of our ability. You know, like, a lot of these religious impulses, you know, have gotten replaced by this secular progressive religion. And I think it's a shame that the Libertarian Party, you know, seems to participate in that, I guess.
I was describing to a friend of mine who you were prior to today's episode, not a libertarian, just a good friend of mine. And he said, I was telling him about some of your interactions with, like, maybe Nina Turner.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, those types of things where you say provocative things. And I'm not afraid of, you know, Toad came on here and said the N-word on my stream. So,
okay.
So, you know, yeah. we can say whatever, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, which N-word? There's so many. But no, the point is to violate the norms. Yeah. Okay. Like, I'll give you an example of the Nina Turner one.
Sure.
This, I think, is a great example. Like, I think this is, from my perspective, of what I want to be doing with LP&H. And by the way, I get more credit for LP&H than I deserve. While certainly some of the posts have been mine, a lot of them aren't. We have a whole team. I'm in a position to kind of take some of the slings and arrows. Sometimes I even go around defending tweets that wouldn't have been my favorite, but I always back my guys. You know, and we try to have a policy of not disclosing who made what tweet.
Okay.
So when I'm talking about this, we're talking about LP&H tweets. Like, they're not all made by me, but I'm here to be the messenger defending them. The Nina Turner one, though, I do think is like near a home run because, you know, Nina Turner is going around and saying healthcare should be free. You know, that's a call for enslavement. That's what it is. There's no way. And there's a great Rand Paul speech, I believe, from like a decade ago where, you know, he gives this speech from the House floor about, you know, there's no way that you can give free healthcare. You're either compelling doctors, you know, or you're compelling the labor of other people to pay doctors. Like, there's no way of producing free healthcare without compelled labor, okay? Well, we have a term for compelled labor. That's slavery, you know? And I'm not saying that modern compelled labor is identical in all ways to historical slavery, but it really does have quite a number of similarities. I also think that compared to the lives of the era, the idea that slavery for many people was particularly evil, and I want to be clear, slavery is an evil, but I also think it has been built up a little bit as part of maintaining the, you know, progressive religion. Mm. You know, like I've seen the way, you know, the idea that like every Southern slave owner was being horrifically abusive, I think is, I'm pretty skeptical of that, I guess, at this point. But I'm sure there were abuses. I wouldn't dispute that either. Anyway, so Nina Turner is, we don't want to play defense. Same way when I went into conventions and said, they said they want to disaffiliate me. And I'm like, I'll disaffiliate you. You know, I didn't play defense. We don't like playing defense. So it's like, if you're saying that you're going to enslave me, I'm not going to say, no, don't. I'm going to say, well, I'm going to enslave you like that. Mm-hmm. Right. So if Nina Turner wants to say healthcare should be free, my opinion is that I should be able to enslave Nina Turner. I should be able to take her and have her work on my farm, you know. And, you know, that's how we're going to even out the harm that she's caused, you know, by advocating for and advancing the slavery of productive humans, you know. And so I like these kinds of messages that attempt to flip the frame, that attempt to.
It takes someone who's in control of their emotions to calmly listen to what you just described and to not flip out while you're saying it.
Yeah.
When you say that advocating for free healthcare is supporting slavery, you mean that it's forcing someone to do work for free.
Yeah, it's compelled labor, yeah.
I don't think many people can get past the point of this conversation to actually hear what you're saying.
A lot of people can. Well, it's a good question. So it's like, okay, if me controlling 100% of your labor is slavery, you know, at what point is it not? Is 90% not slavery? Mm. Is 60? Mm. You know, we're at a point where if you're a productive person in America, you're spending about half of your working hours in service of other people. And so all of that time, all of that effort is being taken from you and being given to others under the threat of violence. You know, and I want to be clear that my life is, I have a great life. My life is great. I've got 4 kids. I'm doing well. I've done well business. So I'm not trying to act like my life is, you know, terrible or something like that. It's not. But at the same time, in terms of what it could be, in terms of what could be done, in terms of how much more we could be innovating, how much more prosperity we could have, how much freer we could be, a lot of productive people, a lot of their time and labor is taken from them and to be given to others. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, my laptop just beeped. I thought it was plugged in, but it's not. Just give me, I'll be back in like 10 seconds just to plug it in.
No problem. So, of course, the topic of Libertarian Party of New Hampshire versus Nina Turner got a lot of attention. I do think it's good to have Jeremy on here describing that he, you know, I would say that's one of the tweets that really sticks with people when you see the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire you know, indicating something about picking cotton to a black woman who's running for Congress, a progressive, democratic socialist leaning congressional candidate, and everybody sees it and they're like, oh my God, is Jeremy Kaufman a Fed? Is he trying to sabotage? Is he trying to sabotage the libertarian movement to ruin the name of all libertarians that he thinks that black people should be enslaved in cotton fields? Or they, that maybe not he, but that they. So I do think it's good that you kind of tackled that. So I do think that's a good to
explain. I'm happy to. It's hard. It's hard. Like, I like this other thought experiment I like is like, you know, imagine if the transgender people had won. And like, not just one, but like one for 50 years. Like, imagine if you had been raised your whole life from birth, you know, being taught that, you know, men can be women and women can be men and it's all, you know, kind of arbitrary. And that this, like, everyone around you told you that this was true, you know? How hard would it be to get out of that, you know?
Okay.
And I think when it comes to some of this other progressive stuff,
how hard would it be to point out that, like, hey guys, that's not true, without being just shut down and called a bigot? Shut the hell up, you bigot. No one wants to hear that.
Right.
Okay.
And so I do think when it comes to some of these other areas, like, we could say we could date it to, like, you know, 1917 or so. We could date it to 1962, you know, but progressives or the early 1960s, not actually 1960s, but like, you know, progressives have been in control of America for a long time. You know, you might have brief blips of a Republican president, but they never really successfully retard the progressive agenda. And so, and you know, if you went to a public school, there's all this stuff, there's all this progressive stuff that we've just been swimming in our whole lives. And it's so tough to dig our way out of it. I mean, I still feel in my early 40s that I'm still digging my way out of this stuff where, you know, it's like, well, is that really true? You know, I've adopted like more and more sort of radical agnosticism of like all of these things that I, you know, and it doesn't mean that they're false. You know, I'm not, you know, when I say that we should be skeptical, you know, question or skeptical, it doesn't mean like everything you were told is false. That's also a mistake. You know, I saw this happen with COVID. There's a lot of lies during COVID. And I saw people as a response be like, well, anything I was ever taught about medicine is wrong. I was like, well, you know, that's not the right response either. You know, although we were lied to and we should be more skeptical. And so it's a similar kind of idea where, you know, if we discover that, you know, we were lied to in these ways, you know, we should have more skepticism of this other stuff. And so, that's the same reason I've scheduled. Well, how bad were the slaves really treated? You know, slavery's not good. I'm not condoning slavery. Oh, you know, I don't know. I don't know how bad they were actually treated. You know, like I don't know how much people have changed, but you know, even mean white people tend to be nice to their, you know, like pets and property. Like this idea, you know, the amount of people I've met who are like radically cruel is very low. It's not zero. They're radically cruel people. I'm sure there are people who are radically cruel to their slaves. Like, I don't doubt that that happened. But the idea that every person was cruel to their slaves, I'm just so skeptical of that, given, you know, the way people behave. Like, I was taught this. It feels like I was taught this. And again, it's bad either way, of course. But this idea, you know, anyway.
That it should be so off limits that we all cower when the topic even comes up. That's why you think it's important to address it without being fearful or, with kid gloves. There's no point in doing that. We're adults. Why not just try to address the issues that are out there with big people pants?
That's right. That's right. And so the fact that we provoke these conversations and we provoke them successfully, you know, Libertarian Party of New Hampshire is doing like maybe a million impressions a week or like a million impressions every 2 weeks. Like we're starting conversations on a regular basis. We have people replying to us all the time that are like, oh, you make us want to be libertarian again. Because libertarianism, and I do blame the Libertarian Party for this, and again, I said this to them in their speech, I think the Libertarian Party deserves more blame than any entity for why libertarianism is getting less popular. I do. Because all of our good libertarian leaders don't want to wear the label. They don't want to call themselves libertarian because you know, you and I are smart enough, and I'm sure your audience is smart enough to understand the difference between a small L libertarian and a big L libertarian, but a lot of people aren't. And so to call yourself a libertarian, even if you're not voting for them, is to kind of associate yourself with the Libertarian Party. Mm. And, you know, the Libertarian Party has been controlled by woke leftists, you know, for at least a decade, you know.
Fat people in a thong at the Libertarian Convention, dancing, and, you know, Vermin Supreme, people like that.
Yeah, like, I mean, Vermin Supreme's a communist. And I'm not, like, just throwing that word around. Like, he doesn't believe that violence is the correct response to property rights violations. Like, he thinks it's wrong to use violence against the thief. A lot of these left libertarians do. I mean, we had property stolen from, and this is what's crazy is, like, because to me, being a libertarian, you know, property rights are, you know, they're the most, our strongest belief, you know, is to not take other people's property. I mean, we had a woman, I'm happy to say her name here, Alexa Maffey, because I think everyone should know it. This, she was captured on video stealing property from our table overnight. And this is crazy to me. And they wouldn't even kick her out. They wouldn't kick her out. Because LPNH, because we say things like, infinite Haitian immigration to the United States is probably a bad idea. Like, just expressing that idea to the left libertarian means we're not people and it's okay to take our property. You know, and it's crazy. This idea, one of the ideas that I'm totally done with is this idea that libertarianism is neither left nor right. I'm a right-wing libertarian. Left-wing libertarians or anyone on the left tends to dislike me. They tend to be fine with bad things happening to me. You know, so this idea that libertarians are so principled that they're neither left nor right, you know, especially after this last convention, it's really impossible for me to believe. There were just a lot of leftists there who had no problem with bending the rules, cheating, property rights violations, theft, just because it was happening to LPNH. And so I'm done with this. You know, I've got the New Hampshire strategy. We recruit right-wing libertarians, principled people, people who are pro-natal, people who want to build businesses, people who want to do things, people who are fit. I like people who are fit. We have a gym here. We have a Free State Barbell Club. When I go to the gym,
I saw some clips that I think you had posted of a don't tread on me or those types of things at your gym. Yeah. Yes.
It's a whole gym and it's run in a very libertarian way. I rarely see the owners. I have a key card. I scan in.
Okay.
I don't even think I've signed anything. You know, I pay my monthly fee and I just have access to, you know, a gym with all these equipment. I bring my kids in. We just go and do, and I meet with some of the other guys from the community here, but like we just go in and we do, we just do workouts and there's libertarian stuff on the walls. And it's, you know, it's like run in this sort of high trust kind of way. And there's all, you know, this is to me what it's about. You know, even my kids go to jujitsu classes.
Hell yeah. You know, I'm a kid's jujitsu instructor myself.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. I know very little about it. My son is going to be able to beat me up soon, and I'm getting a little bit nervous about it.
Hell yeah. That's the goal, right? That should be the goal.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm proud. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean that. So that'd be funny. But yeah, no, I love it. He can hit me harder and harder. You know, he's only eight, and I'm getting to the point that I'm like, you know, like, cause for a while, I was like, just hit me as hard as you can. And I felt real tough. It's like, I'm starting to get to the point where I don't have much more time left on letting him do that. He goes to jujitsu with a libertarian and a libertarian jujitsu, liberty friendly gym and all this stuff. And so that's a cool part of being here, is that we have all these, you know, aligned places, to go.
Was there a punching at the convention of that woman who stole the stuff from the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire? Was there a woman who was punched?
She was slapped. Okay. Yeah. Which I don't love that that happened. I also don't hate that it happened. I have very mixed feelings on this one, you know. Like, it was clearly a mistake. I mean, it was a distraction. He's gotten himself in personal trouble, you know. So I want to be clear that, like, I think it was a mistake. I would defend it, you know, kind of under libertarian principles, because the truth is these people don't suffer consequences. And what you want is, because she was stealing from us. She stole from us twice. She was captured on video stealing from us overnight. And then she came back and tried to walk away with all of this stuff from our table. It didn't have tremendous dollar value, but it was probably like $40 or $50 worth of printed materials. She was told multiple times to stop. Someone from our crew was like after her and like tugging on the magazine. So another woman. And then a member of our group slapped her in the face, which, as I said, you know,
she did steal. Back. So consistent with what you said about the Vermin Supreme thing. That's at least consistent.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is why I don't hate it, because it really shows what these losers are all about. They're like, oh, well, you hit a woman. It's like, okay, but she's stealing our stuff. Like, we can say he should have hit her, like, not as hard. Like, he probably, again, I think he should have, like, tackled her to the ground or handled it in a way that wasn't as. But, like, dude, I'm pretty, I don't know, maybe I'm out there by libertarian standards at this point because I'm, like, a little bit reactionary. But, like, if you're, I just find the kind, like, my whole thing is we're trying to produce a society where people don't do this. Like, that's the whole point. Like, and the tolerance that our current society has for, like, criminals and bums, I hate it. Like, I want the bums, like, I like to talk about New Hampshire being great. I live in the largest city in New Hampshire, and it's like even our Republican mayor can't get the bums out of the parks. And it's like my kid doesn't want to walk through the park because there's like some weirdo nodding out. And it's like, what the hell? Like, I would deal with it. He couldn't pay for the police. He doesn't have any money. Like, I would deal with it. But if I went to deal with it, I'd get arrested. And so it's like the police protect bums from decent people taking care of things. And this is the same kind of situation. This woman was a bum. She was stealing stuff. She stole stuff multiple times. And then one of our dudes, again, he was probably too aggressive. I don't want to defend it wholly, but.
Did he go to jail? Did he lay her out pretty good?
Well, she did the whole crying thing. You know, I didn't see it. So I don't know exactly how hard he got her. She was playing it up for sure, because she was crying 90 minutes later. So I think at this point probably that's not from physical pain. He did go, he got arrested. He was bailed out a couple of hours later. And I don't know what's going to come of all of it. So
if you would have headed into the 2026 Libertarian National Convention, if someone could have said, Jeremy Kaufman, this convention is going to be a clusterfuck of leftist psychos. Okay. You wouldn't have been like, oh my God, Kelly, no way. Okay. So my question is, and that would have been applied for the last national convention and the one before that too. My question for you is, you keep going, you keep playing the game. What's the value in this? Because that does appear to be the trend. Why do you keep playing the game? Why do you keep going?
Because I'm a libertarian. Like, I'm a small L libertarian. Like, my ideas are squarely in this sphere. I have more and more people telling me I'm not a libertarian, so I keep taking the political quizzes when I see them coming up, like the new ones. And I always get libertarian. I always get right-wing libertarian. I'm pretty far right at this point, but it always says libertarian. Okay. Like, you know. And so this idea that I should just cede the word, that's how the leftists win, right? Leftists enter and rightists leave. And I'm not going to leave.
You're not going to bitch out.
Yeah. And I knew it was it was definitely worse than I thought it was going to be. I went into convention. We were actually talking about this among our group, because we're also there to recruit for the Free State Movement, because we feel we have a better solution. We feel like we have a better strategy. And so we were talking in our chat, you know, how many people here do you think you would want to move to New Hampshire? And we were talking about, well, it's like maybe a third, maybe a quarter. You know, after being there, it's like a tenth, two tenths, you know, it's less than I would like, but there's still good people there. You know, I had a bunch of people, you know, even despite all this stuff, there were dozens of people. I mean, it might be 50 people, you know, who came up to me and said, hey, you know, thank you. I appreciate what you're doing. I'm curious about New Hampshire. You know, this was a regular occurrence. LPNH threw its own party on Friday night. We had, you know, around 100 people come out, at least 75 people come out. You know, so there are people who get it and who appreciate it. And as long as I can keep recruiting them.
So it was a success. You know, it was a success.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I do hear your message. You are a libertarian. You're not backing away. You don't like the progressive trajectory of our country where they dominate the vernacular and they kind of take hold and then the right, which would be myself also, the more right-leaning people kind of cower, and then they end up adopting. And as you said, you know, celebrating Martin Luther King Jr., who was a literal communist, things like that.
Yeah. 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 And this is tough. And so part of what we're trying to do, I'm trying to invert those things, and I'm trying to, and I do think we have enough people here in New Hampshire where we can, you know, like I hang out with people all the time, you know, where it's totally normal and it's a safe space, you know, to not be abiding these sort of progressive norms, which again, even the national, and this is why, you know, right versus left gets hard, because I think the vast majority of Republicans, you know, exist within them, and it's very few Republicans who won't.
The Republicans end up bragging about how they have a new minority candidate for some office. They play the game just as much, and oftentimes more than the others. I mean, maybe not more, but you hear, you know, your dad or your uncle. Yeah. I mean, we've all got family members who are big time Republicans, and oh, I really like that Larry Elder. Oh, yeah. I like that Officer Tatum. You know, my favorite. Yes. Those are my favorite guys.
And this is why I like Trump, despite not liking plenty of his policy, is like more than any other Republican, really more than any other Republican, even more than the libertarians, like even more than a Rand Paul or a Thomas Massey. And I want to be very clear. Rand Paul or Thomas Massey would have better policies than Donald Trump, right? Like they'd have better policies. But Donald Trump is more willing to violate the progressive norms. You know, the way that he talks about immigration, the way that he talks about people from different places, even the way that he talks about criminals. You know, you and Massey, and again, I love Massey. I wish he had won, would have voted for him. I have a video from a couple of years ago encouraging Thomas Massey to become King of America. That's still my position today. You know, but like Thomas Massey is like, you know, all gun control is racist. And it's just, I'm not supporting the gun control, but you're doing it in the wrong way. And when I hear this argument, I'm like, oh, it just drives me up a wall, because it's like you're existing within the realm of your enemies, and the left isn't going to care. They're not going to be like, oh, now I oppose this gun control because it's racist. Like, it's not going to work on them. And you're instead, you know, so I don't know.
That makes sense. I hear your message. It certainly makes sense. I appreciate you coming on the show to kind of summarize your stance. It was a success for Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, despite the chaos over the weekend. I like the details about, I hate to crack a joke about this, but I did enjoy the details about the guy slapping the woman who stole. Yeah. She stole. She did steal.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you coming on. Before we wrap things up, Jeremy, do you have any, I don't know, I know you're easy to find. LPNH on X. I mean, what else can you plug?
Follow LPNH on X. Follow myself on X at Jeremy Kaufman. If you want to check out what I'm doing at the Free State Party, you can go to freestate.party and get to our YouTube or our X from there. We're not that active on our X, though, but our YouTube videos are really interesting, and this is going on YouTube, I assume. So
yes, it is.
We have some long-form, serious, intellectual, interesting stuff. We're not doing very little. This podcast, of course, is not slop, but we're not doing the slop thing.
Sure.
And if you want to see some serious intellectual libertarian content, go to the Free State Party YouTube and check out some of that.
I love it. Jeremy Kaufman, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, Kelly.
Good stuff, man. I think that went very well. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, that was great. It seemed like you just kind of were letting me talk. So
that was the game plan. I had a couple people messaging me saying, you should ask him about this. You know, but I was like, I was thinking a softball. Hear what you, your take on the, you know.
Well, it's easy to get me going, you know, so, but I hope I wasn't talking too much or whatever.
No. That was my strategy when I have you on. You were the one who got so much attention over the weekend. I wanted to hear kind of your spiel, and I think you did that. So thank you very much.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks for having me on. And, you know, I'll ping me. I'll like post it or retweet it or like.
Awesome. I'll tag you in it on X and everything. So thank you very much, man. Have a good rest of your night with your family.
Cheers, you too.
See ya.